I'll start out with a question. First of all, you all know you only have about a 50-50 chance with your pastor that you're going to get a traditional Easter message. Flip the coin. Are you going to get a traditional Easter message? Is that what you want? Is that what you need, a traditional Easter message? Most of you could get up here and tell the traditional Easter message, I would imagine. Amen?
Amen.
So I'll start out with a question. What do you think Jesus feels about Easter? What do you think Jesus is thinking as he watches us do our typical celebrations of Easter? What do you think he's thinking about? What do you think he feels about it? And I don't mean the Easter bunny and all the pagan stuff. I mean the religious celebration, acknowledgement of Easter. What do you think he's thinking? He didn't ask for that. You're absolutely right. He didn't ask for it. He didn't ask for almost everything that we do, but that's what we're like. We like tradition. We like ritual, for better or worse. Even the Aztecs, as they did their human sacrifices, it was ritual. It was their way in their mind that they should get to the god or gods that they worshiped. Amen? And so here's what I can tell you about what Jesus feels about all of these, whether it's Christmas or in this particular case, Easter or what we call Resurrection Sunday until after church, then it turns into something else. Amen? Here's what he would say. He would say that it's nice to have the commemoration that we exercise at Easter time. It's commemoration means that we all remember together. It's not, isn't it nice that we acknowledge and remember what happened a long time ago that accrues to our benefit? Isn't that nice? So Jesus will say that, that's real nice. The commemoration is real nice. But I know for sure that what he thinks and feels is this. He would rather than have commemoration, he would rather this be a day of commitment. I don't know exactly what individual or individuals need to hear this today, but while commemoration and acknowledgement of Jesus's acts a long time ago are a really good thing, they do something for us. They don't do anything for him. But when you go from commemoration and you add on to it commitment, and if he has to choose between the two, let me just tell you, he'll take commitment. Now you start to actually give your Savior something that benefits him when you go to commitment. And so what he wants to tell you today is that's nice. That's real nice. If you came to church for commemoration, that's nice. Thank you so much for coming. But what he's asking for is commitment. Are you willing to commit? That's why I like the first song, preparatory song that Brother Marcellus played. I am sold out. That song doesn't resonate with everybody. It doesn't even resonate with everybody here. When you're sold out, that song means something different. You immediately start thinking about all the things that you do on the regular that show that you're sold out, that are because you're sold out. A song means a completely, you might be sitting there, you might even clap your hands a time or two, but it means, it sounds different to those of us who are actually, truly, don't have to be pushed, don't have to be prodded, don't have to be begged, don't have to be redirected, because you sold out. That's what Jesus would love to have. What if once a year people decided not to remember Jesus, but commit to Jesus? And if they strayed a little bit, what if they decided on this day to recommit to Jesus? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But commitment means something. Anybody committed to anything? You committed to anything? It shows in what you do. Amen? What if we had that kind of commitment to Jesus? Hallelujah. Amen. Maybe if he paid us to come to church, we'd come every Sunday, huh? Amen. What if he was going to fire us for not showing up? We'd come every Sunday, huh? Amen. If he was going to fire us for being late, would we be on time? Amen. Hallelujah. He's looking for commitment. That's all I'm trying to say. The Bible says that obedience is better than sacrifice. I'm here to tell you this morning that obedience is also better than remembering. It's all right to remember. As a matter of fact, it's a little bit weird. How can you remember something you never experienced? But obedience is better than remembering. Amen?
Amen.
Now, there is one important benefit, however, to these celebrations, these holidays, when, as Pastor Trina said, the whole world starts to focus in on what we should be focused on all the time. One good thing that we get at Easter and Christmas, Jesus gets our attention. He gets us to, we show up to a place where somebody is carrying his word. He gets our attention. Does he have your attention this morning?
Amen,
amen, amen. He's got a simple message for you. Shouldn't even take me that long, I don't think. I need you to understand. I'm going to say it again. Jesus prefers commitment over commemoration. Amen?
Amen.
In fact, without commitment, all of the acknowledgement and commemoration fall flat. They mean nothing. They are empty. If you came here to remember along with other people, to commemorate Jesus and what he did a long time ago, that acknowledgement, those statements of affirmation mean nothing to him if you're not committed. I'll say it again. All of that stuff means nothing if you're not committed. So what is Jesus asking for this morning?
Commitment.
What's he asking for?
Commitment.
What are you ready for?
Commitment.
Amen. Let's go to our text. It will be found in the book of Luke, just like last week, chapter 11 and verses 27 through 32. Luke chapter 11, verses 27 through 32. Shouldn't take too long to find it if you mark your Bibles from last week. I want you to leave here today with a real commitment to Jesus, or a renewed commitment to Jesus. And we ask, what does Jesus have to do to get us to truly commit? What does he have to do to get us to really be sold out? Is there anything that he can do? Because clearly what he's already done, his sacrifice on the cross, his decision in the garden, everything that he's done up to this point for us, in some cases, is still not enough for us to commit. It's not even enough for all of us to pay attention, let alone commit. Everything that he's done, I mean, what can he do? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
To get us to truly commit.
Amen.
As we approach our text, we find Jesus performing his ministry, and he has done all kinds of miracles. And the most recent one, as we get to our text, is that he cast out a demon out of a young man who had been made mute, where he could not speak because of the demon. Amen?
Amen.
And Jesus had taught them that, let me just tell you that when a demon is cast out, you better get your house in order. You better sweep it clean. Because if you don't, he's going to bring back seven with him. Amen?
Amen?
So you better get it right. It better be real, and you better keep it tight. Because it's going to be harder the next time. Get it right the first time. Amen? So this is what he has been teaching them. And so he has been teaching to these crowds, and it attracted throngs of people. The miracles attract people. Did you know that?
Yes.
People are looking for a sign. Amen. They like the miraculous. They're attracted to those things. Amen.
Amen.
But despite all of the miracles, guess what? They still didn't accept Jesus. What did they need from him? What were they looking for from him? They wanted something to titillate their flesh. They wanted something to satisfy their flesh. That's what they were looking for. So they wouldn't accept Jesus after all that he had done. And we would ask ourselves, what does he need to do to get us to what?
Commit.
To get us to commit. What do our bosses have to do to get us to commit? And has not Jesus done even more than that? or can we be bought? What do our bosses have to do to get us to commit? And has not Jesus done more? Or can we be bought? What do our bosses do in order to get us to commit for us? What do they do for us to get us to commit? Has not Jesus done far, 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 far more?
Amen.
Or can we be bought? Think about it. I'm speaking on behalf of Jesus, by the way. I'm not here to give you tradition. I'm not here to give you ritual. I'm not here to give you custom. I'm not here to help you remember, although we do that together. That's what commemoration is. But I'm here now that he has your attention to speak on his behalf. I'm his man. Amen?
Amen.
And if you're down with him, then you're down with me. And if you're down together, we can't be stopped. But we first must be holy and complete me committed. Amen. We need Margaret here today. Amen. Amen. Commitment. Another question. Have you ever had somebody in your life where you knew, you realized, no matter what you did, you couldn't please them? Have you ever had anybody in your life, despite you did everything, you turned yourself into a pretzel, you tried to jump the way they said jump, you tried to do what they asked you to do, and you knew that you couldn't satisfy them. You knew you couldn't please them. You knew that no matter how sincere you were, no matter what you did on their behalf to try to get it right, they weren't really interested in you. They might like some of the things you do, and they might even acknowledge them some of the time, but they are really not interested in the you that God made. And you know, if you spend enough time dealing with this person, that you could do everything they ask. You can jump through all the hoops, and guess what? They're not interested in the real you. You ever had anybody like that in your life? Do you have anybody like that in your life? No matter what you do, you know for a fact, you're not going to please them. Now, sometimes we're crazy enough to keep trying. Amen? But I ask you that question. Do you have anybody in your life where you just know no matter what you do, you're not going to please them? They're not going to accept you, the real you. They're not going to love and appreciate the real you. They're not going to love and appreciate what you really bring to the table. And imagine you know that. What if you went on your jobs and you knew that? What would your commitment level be like versus just going along to get along? There's something called commitment, and then there's compliance. You can tell when somebody's coming just to check the box. You can tell when somebody's coming just so they don't get talked about. You can tell when somebody's coming just for a show. You can tell when they're coming for that and when they are committed. There's a difference. Jesus cares. He's not interested in filling empty chairs. He's interested in filling empty people that then fill the chairs, and then the filled chairs matter. Other than that, he's just not interested. He's not impressed with our pomp and our circumstance. He is not impressed with our ritual and tradition. He is not impressed. I'm speaking for Jesus. He's not impressed. The whole world, just about, more than half of the world, focuses on Jesus this one day. And bombings happen anyway. Parenthetically, I just happened to watch, I'm looking at Netflix, and I'm happened on this Beyonce thing. I'm like, oh, what's she doing these days? So I watched a little thing, some homecoming, and you know, historically black colleges were, you know, highlighted, and that was really cool with the drum line and all the majors and all that sort of stuff. And she prayed with the group beforehand. To God, not in the name of Jesus, by the way. None of them do, by the way. None of these entertainers that are really worshiping something and somebody else, but they use the name of God, they will never say in Jesus' name. Pay attention. But she prayed, and they were all seeming like all spiritual, and she proceeded to use more curse words than I've ever. The rappers don't curse as much as she was cursing with the attitude. I was like, what? I didn't expect it. But she prayed beforehand. God's not impressed. He is not fooled. And Jesus knows when you leave him out. He notices. Amen?
Amen.
Do we notice? Hallelujah. Amen. I have an audience that maybe sees things the way that I'm trying to show you. Amen?
Amen.
So as we look at our text, Jesus had the same kind of situation. I ask you, you got anybody in your life that no matter what you do, you know you can't please them? Well, Jesus had the same situation in our text. He's done all these miracles. These folks are looking for a sign. He just couldn't give them the sign they want. They wanted a sign. Hey, you prove that you come from God, let alone the Messiah. He's done all these miracles. As a matter of fact, in this particular case, when he got rid of the demon out of the man and now this man could talk, they said, well, you just did that by Beelzebub. You did that by Satan's power. Like, what? Now, imagine you being Jesus. How can you disprove a negative? I mean, how you going to do that? He said, well, how can a house divide it? I mean, why would Satan use anybody, let alone me, to cast out his own demon? That don't make no sense to start with. But you just can't please some people. Well, that's not enough. We'll do this. Well, that's not enough. We'll do this. Well, you didn't do that right. We'll do this. Well, you didn't do it soon enough. We'll do that. Well, you didn't do it enough of it. We'll do that. It's not the right color. It's not the right size. I'm not into that anymore. You can't please them. You can't please them. What do you do with somebody like that? How do you handle people like that in your life that you know you can't please? Well, Jesus had a situation. We're just going to see how he handled it. How about that? Right. Let's go to verse 27. Amen. Hallelujah. Read it for me, saints.
And it came to pass,
mm-hmm,
he spake these things.
Yes.
A certain woman of the company,
mm-hmm,
lifted up her voice and said unto him, blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked.
Amen. So that's King James language for, man, you know what? You are a blessing. Bless the woman that gave birth to you and that breastfed you. In other words, you are a blessing. Isn't that a beautiful thing to say? You're a blessing. Tell your neighbor, you are a blessing. Look him in the eye and mean it. Oh, my God. Look at another neighbor and say, I'm so glad God made you. Amen. Hopefully you said it like you really meant it. You are a blessing. I am so grateful and glad that God made you. How does it feel when somebody tells you that and you believe they mean it? How does that feel? Imagine somebody yelling out in a crowd, I'm so glad that God made you. Imagine you go to work and you're in the middle of the warehouse and you're trying to do your thing and you're just minding your own business and somebody crowd said, aren't we so glad that God made Jason? How would you feel? Aren't we glad that you're here? How does that make you feel? Some days. The point here is that, and the irony of the text is, so Jesus has this throng, this crowd, right? And this woman lifts up her voice and she gives this affirmation of him saying that blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps, the breast that breastfed thee. I mean, that's pretty deep. That's saying, I am happy that you're here. Let's see how Jesus responds. Read verse 28. But he said, yes, so he's got this affirmation. Oh, that's nice, man. All right, we're working with something. Now I got this crowd, and I thought I couldn't please him. And now I got, you know, not a heckler, but I got a supporter in the audience, somebody that appreciates me. Well, if you look carefully in the Bible about how Jesus responded to crowds who were kind of superficially supporting him, he responded the same way every single time. And so I'm asking you now, what do you think Jesus thinks about our celebrations?
Amen.
What do you think Jesus feels about our rituals and our traditions that are actually to make us feel better mainly. Right. What do you think he thinks about it? So we've got this crowd. Isn't that great? I did these miracles, and while I don't think I can please them, here they are. I've got their attention. And now I've got a supporter. So what do I say? Now, I don't want to say anything that's going to turn anybody off because I like big crowds, right? I don't say anything that will offend them. You want a big crowd, don't you, if you're a speaker? Hallelujah. So he says, yea, rather. I hear what you're saying. That's nice that you want to acknowledge me and to say it's great that I'm here. But he said, yea, rather, instead of that, blessed, here's who's blessed, forget about me being blessed, blessed are they that hear what? The word, and what? Keep it. So is it good enough to show up? Is it good enough to listen? Is it good enough to hear? Is it good enough to memorize? Is it good enough to participate? No. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and what? Keep it. So what is Jesus interested in? In commitment. That's right. That's right. That's right. I wish Margaret was here. She would love this message. Amen? Commitment is what he wants, not affirmation. He doesn't need you to say, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. You're so wonderful. You're so good all the time, and all the time you are good, and you're not really committed to him. Well, those words are empty to him. Absolutely empty. Nice you said it, but he's looking for somebody who can hear his words. That's nice to be in the crowd, but then to be moved, to be changed, amen? That's what he's looking for, amen? Otherwise, he's wasting his time. He's wasting his energy. He's wasting his breath. He wasted his blood. So we're going to have a celebration about his blood and we're wasting his blood? You can show up. You can get there early. And it could be a waste. It could be empty. Amen?
Amen.
We've already learned you can have faith and not have hope, huh? Amen. Hallelujah. You can show up for the ceremony and it could be a waste. Hallelujah. It's nice to commemorate. It's nice to think about what Jesus did a long time ago. But, you know, you'd be better off. We said it earlier. If you could just remember what he did yesterday. We show up in spades to remember something that happened more than 2,000 years ago that we never experienced. But can we remember and commemorate today what Jesus did for you just yesterday?
Amen.
What if today was a holiday to celebrate yesterday? What if? Now what would Jesus think? Now what would he think? You think Jesus would show up? Do you think Jesus would be leaning forward? Do you think we would have his rapt attention? Do you think when we're done, he'd say, well done, my good and faithful servant? That's what we want him to have.
Amen.
Not just showing up a ritual to say we did it.
Right.
And let me just tell you one other thing. He gave us the communion. And by the way, I'm going to mess up somebody's theology. He was talking to his friends. He really wasn't talking to you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. If we got to contemporary times, the boys to men, hey, pour one out for me. He was talking to his friends, but that's nice that we keep doing it. But now that we do it, and I know we don't do it enough for some folk, they want the tradition, they want the first Sunday, they want me to do it as often as they think we ought to do it. But guess what? He already gave us that, right? That we remember that his sacrifice, right? We do that. So why do we have Easter again? Why do we have Good Friday? Why do we go through? Don't we actually do that during the communion? So why do we have Good Friday service again? Why do we have that week before and think about all the beating? Don't we actually focus on his broken body regularly? So why do we have it again? Now, he didn't ask you to do it, but we like this pomp and circumstance. And okay, well, you might say, well, Pastor, well, Easter's different. Well, wait a minute, wait a minute. He was risen. I got you. It's not just that he died and he was beaten and all that. No, hey, he was risen. Guess what? Ain't nothing new about that. His being risen is not a novelty anymore. He's on the throne, the same place he was before he came down here. There's nothing new about that. Amen. It's not a novelty. We're not still checking his hands for nail prints. I mean, are we really there? Are we still Thomas? Are we still there? It's just like Jesus in the manger. When we put him back on the cross and we have him just out of the tomb and we're checking his hands again, we actually lower him. Because right about now, after more than 2,000 years of practice, we ought to know he's a risen Savior. We ought to know he's a co-creator. We ought to know he's not no baby in a manger, and he ain't no brand new something that just came out of a tomb. And if you knew who he was, you would know there was no way he wasn't coming up. Ain't nothing brand new about that. If you knew he was co-creator, the Son of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, you wouldn't be all fascinated that he got up. Like, really? Was there another option? Seriously? So why 2,000 plus years later, the people who say they belong to him got to stop beyond, we already got communion now. We got to focus on, whoa, isn't that amazing? He got up. The angels are like, oh, like, what's wrong with them? They don't know who they're dealing with, clearly. Like the crowd. They don't know. Are we like the crowd? Do we not really realize who you're dealing with? Pastor Trina says, when I'm going for this job, she keeps reminding me, Pastor Mike, Poppy, don't you know they don't know who they're dealing with? You could have said gobbledygook and booty boo in that interview, and they would have heard what they needed to hear because God wanted them to hear it. Do you hear me? Do they don't know who they're dealing with? No weapon formed against you shall prosper. You could have said boo, and they would have been, oh, that's great. You're our man. You are, that's the guy. And it's true. I got texts saying it's going to be the biggest uphill battle you've ever had. But I wouldn't have done what I did in that boardroom if I didn't believe you could do it. Because your message is a hard message. Your message is the only message that will save the company. But people don't want to hear it. We trust that you can successfully, like you said, deliver their message. That you can deliver a hard message to people that need it and they will buy it. They're counting on me to do something that Jesus couldn't do with that crowd, and he knew it. So how does he deal with people like that? If I believed that the people of Kaiser Permanente were like that crowd, I'd be retiring right now. I bet on the fact that I can believe in them. I bet on the fact that they want to be saved. I bet on the fact. And really, all I did was say yes to God, actually. So clearly, he's willing to bet on them. Clearly, he's willing to have me sacrifice at least whatever I have to offer myself to them. Clearly. And this is what Jesus was doing, offering himself, doing the miracles, hoping that they would have a V8. But he recognized that they weren't going, he wasn't going to win them over. Amen? Amen. He knew this. Amen. He just wants us to listen. He wants us to act on what he says. He wants us to follow through. He wants us to commit. He wants you to show up. He wants you to listen. He wants you to act on it. He wants you to follow through. He wants you to commit. At what point did you stop? You showed up. Okay, that's nice. You listened. That's great. But did you act on what he said? Oh, maybe you acted. You had a momentary emotional time, but you didn't follow through. Why didn't you follow through? And if you follow through, did you stop at second base, or did you commit to running all the way around third and getting to home? That's what he's looking for. All this commemoration means nothing to him. He didn't even ask you to do it. He gave you the communion, and he ain't brand new. It's not news anymore. Amen? Amen. So it is beautiful that he sacrificed. It's great that he rose, but once you know him, like, okay, I don't really need to remind myself of that. How about I act like I remember what he did yesterday for me? How about I never fail to acknowledge and act like I got more than 1 million reasons when it comes time to worship and giving him a sacrifice of praise? How about that? Oh, but we have Alzheimer's. You know what Alzheimer's folks, the dementia folks, they can remember everything from their childhood and they can't remember it 5 minutes ago. We got a lot of Alzheimer's Christians. They can tell you chapter and verse, something that they never saw, never experienced. They weren't even there. But they can't tell you or go to Jesus and acknowledge him for what he did just this morning. Just the fact that you got here, we got to remind you, hey, you could have had an accident. You could have been the crazy one. You could have been distracted. You could have been thinking about work or upset with your spouse or with your significant other or your children. That could have been you. Amen. This is what Jesus thinks about these celebrations that we say are on his behalf. We don't ask him. Amen. Amen. What impresses Jesus is when we listen and we act and we follow through and commit. Amen. That's what moves him. Now, surprisingly, despite what Jesus has said so far in here in verse 28, do you believe that the crowd got thicker? Huh? Now, he said, look, blessed are the ones who hear the word of God and do something about it. He actually has their attention. The crowd got thicker, and listen to me now, the Bible says it got more packed. What that means is they all, you know how people sit like you are now, all spread out? Some people sitting in the back and there's plenty of seats in the front. When you love Beyonce or anybody else, you know what? If somebody allows you to sit in the front, you get there. You take that front row seat. That's a coveted spot, is it not? Where you can get close, where you think you can almost touch him. We don't do it. Do we do that for Jesus? This is what they're doing. They're packed together as close as they can get. He has their rapt attention. Now, he's told them you need to do something about it, not just here. And he still has their attention. And so we go to what he said in verse 29. And so when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, and what do you say when you have people's rapt attention and they're all crowded? They're hanging on your every word. Jesus says, he ain't going to scratch your itch. This is an evil generation. Now, let me just tell you something. I teach you a lot of times that the Bible uses evil because of the religious people who edited it. They turn stuff that doesn't mean evil into evil, but this means evil. He meant that thing. He said this is an evil generation. Now, it doesn't mean every single solitary person is jacked up, but he's saying by and large, that's the story. The person who's really hearing me is the exception, not the rule. This is an evil generation. They seek a sign. That's incorrect. They demand a sign. They insist on a sign. Amen? Amen. They want something to satisfy their flesh. They're not looking for a spiritual solution. He says they seek a sign, meaning they demand a sign. And what does he say after that? There shall be no sign given. So I know you're coming for your fleshly stuff, and I know you want to commemorate, and I know you want to feel all holy and religious and check all your boxes off, but I'm not really showing up. I'm not interested, and I'm so not showing up for that. There will be no sign given. I know that this is what this generation, I know that's what you all want. Let me just tell you now. You may as well get your tickets refunded. I'm not going to give you what you came here for. I'm not going to sing the songs you want to hear. And I know you've got ritual and tradition, so you're going to sing the songs for me. You know the words as well as I do. Isn't that what we do at concerts? It's audience participation, isn't it? You feel good singing. You're not getting paid, but you're happy just to sing, whether it's Hillsong or anybody else. You're singing the songs. You're not getting paid. You can do that at home. But you're there because you want to do it with the Hillsong people, because you do what you really want to do. You show up for it. If they gave you a front row seat for Hillsong, you wouldn't sit way in the back. We have some of the same characteristics. Now, maybe some folks want to sit in the back, but come on now. Stop trying to be the special exception. Because I can hone in on your situation where that is you wanting the front. It could be Tiger Woods. It could be anything. The point, you know what the point is. So here's one of the things that sometimes we do. We make ourselves the exception. I'm calling something out. Because all these messages, eventually they're going to touch you. And they're touching you when you don't admit it. There's an exception spirit that I'm calling out. Amen? You ain't talking about me. That ain't my situation. I'm different. No, you're not. And you're not going to get right until you realize you're not so different. All we got to do is land on your front row situation. I didn't use the right example for you. Okay? All right, so just get the picture of your front row situation that you're hiding from everybody and just say, ouch, in unison. Let's co-memorate that. Hallelujah. I'm representing Jesus. What did Jesus say? How did he respond? Huh? I'm representing him. I'm just trying to tell you what we do. We show up and we do that stuff. Oh, that's not me. Yes, it is. You better off. If I don't use your example, you live with you. You know your example. Say hallelujah and amen for your example that I didn't say.
Amen.
Come on now. Let's get real. Let's get right. Come wasting your time driving all the way here to be the exception. Come on now. Come on now. I'm preaching and I'm not the exception. You ain't better than me. Let me just get that straight as a line. You ain't better than me. I'll put mine up any day. I'll put my stuff up any day. I'll push. I'll go all in any day. So you're not the exception. So if I ain't preaching for you, preach to yourself because you know your example. Say hallelujah. Ouch. I'm calling out that spirit. The spirit of I'm the exception, because you're not. I'm not. Now, I aim to minimize the pain from doing the stupid stuff and not doing what Jesus said and being committed and being sold out, but I'm not the exception. Amen? Because I got whatever my thing is. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And wouldn't it be good if we helped the Lord? Wouldn't it be good if he called out the thing and the example that the pastor used was not ours? And we said, ooh, Lord, that sounds kind of like my thing. Ooh, ouch, thank you. Wouldn't that be great? And wouldn't it be a terrible thing if the pastor had to eventually preach on your specific situation for you to be moved? Lord, have mercy. How long will we have to be here? Wow. So why don't we commemorate? Why don't we remember together our own examples? And we could all be, woo, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Woo, I'm so sick of my job. Guess what? You got to have a job to be sick of.
Amen.
How about you don't have that job? Now what? Oh, so you got a front row. Oh, yeah. Maybe you sit the back row at the concert because you ain't all into it. You that cool one. You ain't moved like that. You got a front row situation. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Woo. Jesus knew they wanted that fleshly stuff. He said, you want a sign? I ain't giving you one. He says, but here's the sign I'll give you. The sign of Jonas, the prophet. He's talking about Jonah. You know, Jonah, the whale Jonah. Jonah, the running Jonah. Jonah, the not me, I don't want to do it Jonah. The Jonah that found himself, discovered himself, came to himself in the belly of the whale. Simple assignment. Go tell the folks what they need to hear. Is that hard? Can I just tell you, anybody that's never preached or pastored, it can be hard.
Yeah.
It's hard to try to tell people what they need to hear and they don't want to hear it. Now, in his case, here's the trippy thing. He knew they probably were going to be moved. Now, that's an assignment that any preacher would take. I'm going to preach. I'm going to give what I got that God gave me. And they're going to be like, yes! What preacher wouldn't turn that down? Him. Because, hey, what if I told you to go preach to your enemy? Oh, man, I know how powerful God's word is. I think they're going to repent. I don't want them to. Isn't that something? It's like trying to figure out who to root for, Houston or Golden State. I can't get happy about it either way. You going to give me that choice? Is there some kind of way that I can arrange for that not to be one of them not to win? One of them has to win? Lord, have mercy. So he says, I'll tell you, you want a sign. I know the sign you want, but I ain't giving you but one sign. That's the sign of Jonah the prophet. Let's go to verse 30. Because he wasn't going to waste his time throwing his pearls to the swine. Read 30 for me. In other words, I'm going to tell you what you need to know. I'm going to tell you what you need to do. And it's in your best interest to remember your own front row situation. I'm going to tell you what you need to know. I'm going to tell you what you need to do. And if you don't respond, that's on you. This is Jesus talking. We make up that Jesus grovels and begs and, oh, please, please, please. Please, please, next time, this time, come on, please, please, please come back. Please do it this time. Please, 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 please. We know you ain't going to get it right. He ain't wasting his time on you. He's done it a million times. That message that Margaret got moved so much by, it was just like this one. It was a crowd, and Jesus was like, all those people running to John the Baptist, you vipers. You ain't right. You're not even doing this for the right reasons. This is what the real men of God and women of God, wherever they were, this is how they were. They're not the person that we try to make up. They're not the preachers that we want to celebrate. They represent God, and God ain't happy with us all the time. Right. He ain't hating us. He's not in it to hurt us, but he will call it what it is so you can remember your front row experience and get it right. What good would it do if he just gave you what you want, made you feel better about what's bad? Right. What good? It would be wrong, right? Do that with your children. Let's bring it on home. You want to celebrate your children in their mess, or you want them to get it right? Newsflash. Sometimes some of us do celebrate our children in their mess. Sometimes we enable our children in their mess. Jesus don't roll like that. Amen?
Amen?
He don't take your breath away, which he could. He said, yeah, I ain't giving you no oxygen to do that.
All right.
So he don't cut you off at the knees like that. But he ain't encouraging you. Amen?
Amen.
So he said, Jonas was assigned to the Ninevites. That's the kind of sign the Son of Man is going to be to this generation. I'm going to tell you what you need to know. I'm going to tell you what you need to do. And if you don't do it, that's on you. I'm not begging. I'm not going to give you more. I'm not going to give you a sign. I'm not going to do that thing that you said to do, thinking that you this time, I've already read your mail. I see you. I see what you don't think I see. I'm going to act on what I know, not what you're saying. Ain't no future in your front with Jesus. No future in your front. He's not impressed with this religious holiday stuff. I could go to the paganism of it like Bishop Davis used to do, but I'm flying. I've been there already. I'm flying right past it. Look, let me just tell you what he thinks. I'm not going to try to, you know, come at you with an intellectual argument and go back and tell you all about the paganism and tell you about the history and how we got the tree at Christmas, how we got the eggs at Easter. You know, we've been there. I'm just telling you straight up, Jesus is not impressed. I'm going to be his man today. I'm not going to be a professor. I'm going to be a preacher. He is not impressed. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He said, that's the only sign I'm going to give you. That's how Jesus handled people that he knew he wasn't going to persuade. Amen?
Amen?
Like he said earlier, blessed are those who what? Hear the word of God and do what? And keep it. Showing up is not good enough. Saying the right things is not good enough. Even hearing is not good enough. Acting for a minute, in the moment of emotion, isn't good enough. Reciting some words that somebody tells you to repeat is not good enough if you don't follow through and commit. Because he can't use you. Hallelujah. So verses 31 and 32, I'm about to wrap up. Jesus makes an illustrative point. He says, the queen of the south, that is the queen of Sheba, by the way, coming all the way from Africa up north to Solomon, the great wise Solomon, his wisdoms, his reputation went all throughout the land. The queen of Sheba from the south shall rise up in the judgment. This is the final judgment. With the men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the utmost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, what?
The greatest Solomon is here.
Mm-hmm. He goes on to say, the men of Nineveh shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and what? So I know I can't please you. And so I'm telling you right now, you're an evil generation. I'm not going to waste my time with you. And let me just tell you, I'm going to bring my point home. I'm going to tell you that the queen of Sheba and the Ninevites are going to raise up in the judgment and tell you more of what I'm trying to tell you about yourself right now. And you know how I know they're going to do it? Because I know you ain't going to respond. I know it ain't going to be real. I know it's not going to last. I know you ain't going to commit. So I ain't going to commit no more of my energy to you. They went all through that for a man that had my wisdom and represented me. The queen of Sheba went to listen. The Ninevites actually did repent once Jonah got his head right. But listen to this. Those people will rise up in the judgment from the pit of hell to condemn that generation. Listen to me now. This is what Jesus is telling them. If you really listen to him, he's saying, I got folks condemned to hell. They are going to judge you. Not the angels, not Michael the archangel. No, not the saved people. They're not going to be wagging their finger. No, the folks that are going to be in hell are going to condemn you. That's some serious condemnation. They don't say it here, but the queen of Sheba, she went all the way out there. Oh, my Solomon, that's so wonderful. You're so smart. Let's get married. Okay. I ain't supposed to marry you, but yeah, I got all this wisdom. Clearly, I won't use it. I'll listen to my own advice. I fell off the wagon because she came all this way. She's so beautiful. Just for me, I don't have one of those. Let me get one of those. I'm so powerful, I can have one of each kind I want. So she dragged him into idolatry. Oh, so she came all that way for somebody less than Jesus. That the point is made, but let me just tell you, she went on back and she went to hell. The Ninevites did repent. That is true. That's absolutely, the point is made. Absolutely, for a man far less than Jesus, they actually listened. So they will condemn the people of that generation. They will condemn those who are about commemoration and not commitment. Oh, they will condemn. But the Ninevites didn't stay right. They ended up being Ninevites. And those people that I'm using as an example for you to live up to are way down here, and they're going to condemn you. So where are you? You way down there. You're going to be sweeping up the floor of the pit of hell. This is what he's saying. And this is a crowd listening intently to him. You better get to know Jesus. He's no wimp. He's no beggar. He already did what he was going to do. And then he turns around on top of that and has the nerve to give us oxygen. It has the nerve to wake us up every day. It has the nerve to preserve us. It has the nerve to feed us. And we curse the food we have. He has the nerve to house us. And we curse the house we have. He has the nerve to give us a job. And we curse the job we have. He has the nerve to give us all the things he gives us. We can't remember it to the next day. You could preach to yourself off of all the material you have. You don't need a song. You don't need any of it. But if they call and say, hey, we praising the Lord over here, you should want to show up, and you should be the first one in line, and you should be the loudest one. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm preaching to somebody. Amen. So unlike the Queen of Sheba and the Ninevites, we actually have Jesus with us, right? We have him readily available. What do we do about it? What do we do? These people that we could judge them, that was before Jesus, it was obvious who Jesus was. What do we do once it's obvious? We have a ritual. We have tradition. Jesus is not impressed. So on this day that we set aside to acknowledge and recognize what Jesus did for us, on this resurrection day, how about we really act like he's Lord? How about we really treat him like he's co-creator? How about we really get sold out? How about we stop trying to be the exception and actually hear the message? Because it's for us. It's for us. Jesus ain't brand new. Did you hear that? It didn't just happen. We're not making it any more real by bringing it up every year. If it doesn't change you, it's pointless. So along with the commemoration, that's fine. He didn't ask for it. And if it makes you feel good, so then you don't change because you think you're good because you did the right stuff, that the church world, the worldly church is down with, it's distracting from what you really need to do and be. It's a distraction. Satan loves these holidays. Did you know that? Makes us feel good. Do you know how many people go to church today and leave like, yes, I did it. I'm good. Satan loves that. One good thing about these events, though, is that churches have plays and things like that, and it helps children understand. That's a good thing. They need the pictures. It helps them get the concept of who God is and what Jesus did for us. So let's hear Jesus' words, and let's be changed. Amen?
Amen.
Let's give him the commitment with our lives and make him not a novelty, not a character in a play, even though he's the main character. Isn't that nice? Let's treat him as Lord of our lives. Happy Resurrection Day.
Amen.